You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Chicagoland, and welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Nancy Seitz Markeski, and I'm here with my better half today, Graziano Markeski, and it's a joy to be here.
Welcome. I'm Graziano Markeski, Director of Lay Ministry Formation. We have a guest co-host this morning, my lovely wife, and I'm delighted that we get to share this hour. It's a Monday in Chicago, August the 10th. I shouldn't forget that day. I'll tell you why later. August the 10th, it's the Feast of St. Lawrence, to whom my wife and I are actually very personally indebted. We interceded directly to him for our son-in-law to get a new job, and he starts his new job today on the Feast of St. Lawrence.
Amen.
So it's Monday, the start of a week. It's a great day to be in love with God and with one another. So think of somebody that you love today and be praying for them during this hour. On this Monday, we're talking about Catholic schools. This is the Catholic Schools Show. You know, Catholic education is a very important part of the mission of the Catholic Church because it begins to spread the faith when hearts are very young and very fertile. And we're pleased to be able to have three different segments today in which we're going to be focusing on the educational mission of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Our first guest this morning, first up, is Father Matthew Nemchowski, newly ordained priest for the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Father Matt.
Good morning.
Father Matt is a graduate of St. Rene Goupil grade school here in Chicago, and we're going to explore with Father Matt how his Catholic education helped propel him to where God has him today as a parochial vicar. Is that the official title of an associate pastor?
I think so.
It sounds very formal.
It sounds good.
Yeah, I like that. So, Father Matt, first of all, when did you get ordained?
I was ordained May 23rd.
So. May 23rd.
Congratulations.
So those special graces are still flowing, right?
They're still coming out.
Do we still qualify as being able to get a newly ordained priest blessing?
Right. It's good for the year.
It's good for the year. All right.
You're newly ordained until another class comes.
Oh, great. Great. So before you leave, we're going to ask you for that blessing. And tell us where you're serving.
I'm at Most Holy Redeemer in Evergreen Park.
So that's far south side?
Right. 95th and Lawndale. So
you're brand new there?
Brand new.
Do they call you the baby priest?
They don't. I don't know why. I don't know. But it works out. I was there as a deacon during Lent. So I was deacon there and then priest and now newly ordained.
Wonderful.
Am I too far?
There you go. Closer to the mic. All right. Father Matt has this big bushy beard. That's why
they
don't call him the baby priest.
I don't want to get the microphone all scratchy too. That would be bad.
No, that's great.
We'll be able to hear it.
So you attended Catholic grade school. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, Catholic schools were very important in my family's life. My mom went to a Catholic college, and it was very important. She's one of 12 kids.
Wow.
So I think that's right. I need to count on my uncles and aunts. Yeah, we'll say that.
That's a lot.
And my grandma made a deal with them that you go to a Catholic school, a Catholic college, and I'll fill out your financial aid form. That was the deal.
God bless her.
So, and she had to fill out many of those. And so that was instilled in me that the Catholic school was the place to be. And just a lot of great experiences and a lot of integration to my life where, you know, start the day with prayer, end the day with prayer, and just devote your day to God with the morning offering. And it was just wonderful to have that opportunity to go to Catholic school. Serenay's an amazing place. It was a great experience. Yeah.
Father, when did you first explore the possibility of a priestly vocation? Do you recall in Catholic grade school at any particular time, certain grade?
It was hard to find an actual time because it was always in my mind, either in the back of my mind or at the forefront, because they had all these they had priests coming more or less every week. So I had Father Process, who was my pastor from, I think it was fifth grade on, and then Father Tom was my pastor when I was in at the end of high school into college, and Father Sergius, and all these good priests would come and teach classes to some of the eighth graders we had.
Was this sense of call to the priesthood something you kept to yourself, or did you let people know about it? Did your classmates know that you were thinking about priesthood?
They did. They did, because they knew I was going to the seminary after eighth grade, going to the high school seminary. And, you know, we had all the little autograph books, and they would have a little message, you know, you're going to be an awesome priest. Mm-hmm. You're going to say my wedding, different things like that.
Wonderful.
So it was always something that was in my mind. And other things would come, but it was never an either-or thing. Like, I was interested in movies and being a critic or the radio or acting, things like that. But it was never my mom always told me that you could be a priest and that. It wasn't an or thing. So it was helpful.
An acting priest, that'd be
good, right? Yes.
Although you look like you could be a linebacker.
That could work too.
Yeah.
You could bless them after they get the concussion or something,
you
right?
You could be the chaplain for the Bears.
That's right.
Father Matt, it sounds like your mother did a lot of encouragement in terms of your vocation. Often we hear that a certain priest invited, you know, interest in the priesthood or inspired young seminarian in some way. Was there any priest during your grade school years who you admired or inspired you to explore priesthood?
One of my teachers at Mundelein always said that a vocation looks like someone. Uh-huh. So when you imagine yourself as a priest, you imagine yourself as someone. Or imagine yourself as a married couple, you see married couples and you say, you know, these people are very happy. This is the type of couple I want to be. This is the type of priest I want to be. And within my time at Serenay, so many wonderful priests came into my life. And one of the ones that stand out when I was growing up and thinking about the priesthood and was always there was Father Peter Parassus. So he was there. He took me to Mundelein with a bunch of other servers and my dad. Just to see the grounds. And I was seeing the grounds, I'm like, yeah, I could spend some time here. We had ice cream afterwards, so I think that was probably the thing that really caught my eye and kept me going. But another thing that stood out is he actually went to I was at St. Lawrence Seminary in Mount Calvary, Wisconsin, which is run by the Capuchins. And he actually went to visit me, which is 3 hours
away. Is that the same Lawrence as today's feast?
It's a different Lawrence. It's the W and not the U.
Okay.
That's the way that I distinguish. I don't know. There's probably a better way. The different centuries and all that other stuff, but the U and the W. But this was St. Lawrence with a W. And so he went. It was 3 hours drive, and he came out of the blue. I got a message on the intercom like, this never happens. What's going on here? And he came. It was just such a wonderful surprise that he had just been very supportive throughout, as have all the priests at Serenay, like Father Tom and Father Bernanke and Father Sergius and all.
Wonderful.
You know what you quoted before from the professor at Mundelein, a vocation looks like someone. That's a profound insight.
It is.
You know, it really speaks to the powerful influence that we have on one another and the responsibility that we have.
Right.
You know, if we want to attract people to the married life, you know, we know a lot of young people are not getting married today. We better look like happy married people. If you want to attract someone to priesthood, every priest has a responsibility to look like a happy priest,
right,
to look like this is a fulfilling life. This is a life that isn't just a great sacrifice, but it's one that is filled with the grace of God, with all kinds of rewards that you might never expect.
Father Hennessy is the one who said that priesthood looks like someone, as do all vocations. And it's the idea that you do not want to be part of a vocation, or even if it's an occupation, if somebody looks completely depressed and down in the dumps and head down, you know, doing an Eeyore or something, you want to actually do something with where there's life, where there's like, oh, this person's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they went into it. Where then I don't know why they went into that. They're so depressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
You
got to
see the happiness and the joy.
Amen.
And that's a sign of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you see joy and life in somebody's life, it comes out.
I said last week, sometimes we come across, when we do vocation work, is come join us and be miserable. You know, not exactly what church is supposed to be. We're going to take a short break right now and come back and continue our conversation about vocations and particularly Catholic education. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. Don't go away.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Hello, Chicagoland, and welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. We're here today visiting with Father Matt Nemchowski, a newly ordained archdiocesan priest, and we're talking about Catholic school education and the influence it has on vocations. Father Matt, you mentioned that when you were in grade school, a priest used to come to the classroom weekly and teach the junior high. And what a strong influence this was on your faith. And they come to our school as well, but I don't think this is a practice across the board. And I'm wondering, at your parish today, is this a common practice?
I believe so, yes.
Oh,
it was
wonderful.
The pastor now is Father Tom Kasputis, who's wonderful.
My classmate.
Your classmate?
Yes, he and I went to, he was a Quigley South guy, I was a Quigley North guy, but we came together for 4 years.
The Sharks and the Jets, right?
Niles College, right? Yeah. We actually became good friends. Tom's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I mean, just having the opportunity to even visit. I was over there a few months ago as a deacon. able to visit the school and walk around the halls, and everything seeming a lot smaller than it was when I was there. But the priest would come. I remember in first or second grade, they had one priest who came, and he was able to do magic tricks, and that was amazing.
Yeah, you know,
this is a priest who was able to do magic tricks. You know, he was doing things with, you know, cards and whatnot. It was just so impressive.
Who was that priest?
That I don't know. I don't know his name. Just do the magic. You know, the name is something that escapes me. And then I had Father Bernacki in fifth and sixth grade, who was a Dominican. And he was, I think he was Dominican, could be Benedictine. He was something in, but he taught us and religion, which was just, you know, he knew his stuff and he taught high school. So it was kind of the next level of education. And then Father Process came seventh and eighth grade, yeah, towards the end. And it was just something where you knew it was coming and you kind of got your questions together and tried to ask him. And some of the kids would say, ask him this, ask him this. Uh-huh. And, you know, it would be a lot of strange questions, but still it would be something that was informational, you know.
Now, besides the influence of the priest who would come visit the classroom, Can you point to other elements of the Catholic education that you received at St. Rene that helped foster the faith of this young kid that you were at the time, that especially that engaged your imagination to really consider priesthood as a viable option for you?
A lot of it was just to see the possibility. It was never something that was in the background. Wasn't something that we're hiding in terms of the Serenay. It's not like, we have priest here, don't tell anyone, or anything like that. Because we even had we had a sister, Sister Richard, who was there, who taught us mathematics. And she was also my fifth grade teacher, I believe. Getting all the years coming together. This is a bad sign when you're, you know, you're 26, getting all the everything coming together. And religion was also a part of the daily activities. So we would have religion as well as the prayers. And what made everything come together was not only the fact that we taught religion or that we prayed, but the fact that the atmosphere of Catholicism was always a part of it, was always a part of behavior towards, you know, your classmate, what you would say, what you would do, just trying to maintain that behavior and knowing that you're a Christian and you should act like one. And, you know, that may not seem like the most joyful thing in the world in terms of, discipline and repercussions for not doing things as you're supposed to. But it was actually a great mindset to have, that you're supposed to be one who's acting out of love for the other.
Yeah. You know, you're recently out of the seminary. I mean, I'm sitting here struck. You're 26 years old. You're younger than our middle daughter. So you've been alive for fewer years than we've been married. But it seems to me that there is a new, I don't know, resurgence might be too strong of a word, but there certainly are more vocations to priesthood today than there had been for a number of the years, you know, between now and, you know, Vatican II. From what you've heard from your classmates up at Mundelein, what accounts for the fact that more young men are considering this option than had been true for the past couple of decades?
I think a lot of it is just knowing that you need to be open to the call and knowing that there's a need. And it seems very strange that you would think that the numbers would go down after the scandal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, when I was at St. Joe's, was, you know, getting his hair cut before he was entering the seminary. And this was, you know, right before he was entering his first year in the seminary. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the hairstylist was like, why do you want to be a priest? Why would you want to do something like that? Mm-hmm. You know, what's wrong with you? There must be something wrong if you want to be a priest, is the idea of many from the outside world.
Sad, yeah.
But the truth is that there's the need, and God is a part of our lives and touching our lives and bringing us to where we are being called, to where we need to go. And I think it's just the reason why there's the influx is, I think it's due to people are becoming more open because the clatter of the world is just getting so loud that they need the silence of prayer and the silence of being with God in adoration or being with God during moments of prayer and hearing that call.
You know, I hear that a lot, that young people are attracted to those elements of the church that many people thought were outdated and, you know, had been tossed out by Vatican II, the monastic dimensions, the silence, like you say, the sense of awe, the otherness of God, because society is so noisy. You know, we are, you know, people walk down the street with either a cell phone up to their ear or earbuds, you know, headphones in their ears, and so people are never alone. And there does seem to be this longing for silence and for this communion with something other than oneself.
And that's what was great about going to the Catholic schools, because it reminded you that you have the opportunity to stop. You can stop with the noise and, you know, go to school knowing that God is with you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also mentioned a minute ago about, you know, you alluded to the sex abuse scandal. You're a brand new priest. How do you have the courage to face a world that views priesthood somewhat askance, with some doubt? How do you face that?
I think the greatest thing that the seminary has taught me and Catholic schools is just to be centered on God and in prayer, and, you know, having that relationship with God and bringing people to that is what the priesthood is about. You're there to bring people to God, and you're there to have that relationship with God as well. And within the scandal is just to be, basically to be who you are, to be one who is, you know, friendly and open. And it's tough. I mean, I find myself, you know, a certain uneasiness at times, saying, you know, I got to make sure I'm doing what's correct by Veritas and what's correct by the norms of the Archdiocese of Chicago. But it's a thing that I'm just, at times it's turning around in my mind to say, you got to, you know, make sure that everything's proper, everything's where it should be in that respect.
Father Matt, as we bring our conversation to a close, I'm reminded as a Catholic school teacher that part of our religion curriculum is vocations. Mm. And we actually celebrate Vocation Week, which is enhanced by some wonderful materials from the seminary about vocations. We don't just concentrate on priestly vocations, but also the other vocations which we live in life, married life and single life. But these are fabulous. What else would you suggest for Catholic schools to create an environment or to nurture this calling to the priesthood besides all that we've discussed?
I think it's great to know and recognize. Within my own family, I have an aunt who's a nun, who's Benedictine, and knowing that there's actual people that you know that have this vocation, and you could, you know, go up to them and say, "Hi, how's it going?" They aren't something that's completely other.
All right.
And it's important with the relationship of the priest to his school to be there and to participate in that life. And wonderful. I think that encourages it, because students are able to see other vocations. They're able to see married couples that are happy. And hopefully they're able to see religious people as well.
Well, very we need good. To bring this part of the program to a close. Before we go, I want to get your priestly new ordained blessing right now. Right. I don't know if it goes out over the airwaves, but could you give us your blessing,
Spirit.
Father Matt?
Sure. May God bless you and hold you in the palm of their hand. May God keep you in his heart. And may God bless you in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so
much. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Nancy Marcheschi. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be right back after this short break. Don't go away.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd at St. Francis of Rome, 1500 South 59th Court in Cicero. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting today with Nancy Marcheschi, special guest co-host on this August the 10th, which happens to be our 35th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, well,
exciting.
She didn't really want me to give the number because that sort of gives away how old we
That's
must
right.
be, but we actually were 10 years old when we got married.
I know.
In this segment of the program, we're going to continue our conversation about Catholic education by focusing on Holy Trinity High School, which will be celebrating its centennial year. That's 100
wow.
years, folks. With numerous events planned throughout the year, it's located at 1443 West Division Street, run by the Brothers of Holy Cross. I did not know that. I'll have
yeah.
to ask you about that. And in the studio this morning, we have Mr. John Noonan, Director of Foundation and Community Relations for the school, and Jody Engler, who is the Centennial Coordinator and a mom-to-be.
Congratulations,
So welcome
Jody.
To you both.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about Holy Trinity High School.
Sure. Holy Trinity High School, as you know, was founded in 1910, about 100 years ago, almost 100 years. The mission of Holy Trinity High School is to educate the heart as well as the mind.
Beautiful.
We have a student-to-teacher ratio of about 12 to 1. What we pride ourselves on is individualized attention. For each student, the faculty and staff care deeply about the lives of every student. Our students come from all over the city of Chicago. We have students from more than 40 zip codes.
Wow.
Yeah. And for 4 years in a row, since 2006, 100% of our graduates have achieved college acceptance.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
We're very proud of
that. Has the school always been at the same location?
It's been in the same neighborhood. It's been in the near north side of Chicago.
Okay.
And we've been in our current building since 1927.
27. And now, did you tell us how many students you have?
We have enrolled at Holy Trinity this year about 360 students.
Okay. So it's a nice mid-sized school. And co-ed?
Yes.
Was it always co-ed?
Went co-ed in 1984.
So it started as a boys' school, I think?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. What do you do there as Director of Foundation and Community mm-hmm. Relations?
Well, like so many people at Holy Trinity High School, we all wear a lot of hats. one of the hats that I wear is to try to raise money for the school through foundations and corporations and that kind of outreach.
I see.
And trying to get our message out to the community so people know who we are and hopefully will be interested in supporting us in the work we do.
Excellent. And Jody, could you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, I am the marketing associate now for Holy Trinity High School. I actually was the former vice president for institutional advancement, but with the impending little one on the way.
Is this your first?
This is my first,
yes.
Thank you very much. And so decided to kind of take a little bit of a step back and slow down on the schedule to make sure that everything goes well with the pregnancy. So I'm actually a marketing associate. So right now I'm focusing primarily on the centennial activities that'll be coming up this year, but also working with a lot of our alumni and the alumni activities that we do throughout the year. And then one other major activity is our fall arts event that we started 3 years ago, which is a really, really fun, neat event that exposes people to the arts at Holy Trinity.
Now, I want to get to some of the particulars of the centennial celebration that will be unfolding throughout the year. But before we do that, I'm just intrigued. I'm looking at the two of you. I see two very attractive young people.
Oh, thank you.
I like him already.
who could be doing all kinds of things. And here you are dedicating your lives to Catholic education. I'm sure you're not making as much money as you could be making in other places. Why are you where you are?
Well, we really believe in the school. The people who work at Holy Trinity really become like a family at Holy Trinity. We all share the same values of reaching these students and getting them prepared for college, and it's a joy. It's an honor to go to work there every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually been in nonprofit work for about 18 years. So I've kind of been there, done that in the nonprofit world. And what was really, from my last position, what was really missing was really the heart and that true mission. And so I stumbled upon Holy Trinity High School through a friend of mine. Mm. Met our president, Tim Bopp, and the rest was history. So you kind of get in, and we always say that there's a giant sucking sound at the door for Holy Trinity, because once you get in, you just never leave.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about these special events that you've got coming up. What's the first thing on the plan?
Well, the very first thing is actually a small little internal ceremony that will take place on the first day of school this year, which will be August 25th. So we're just going to do a nice little soft opening for the centennial, just for the internal students and faculty and staff for Holy Trinity. So we're just going to have an assembly. Normally we have a shortened school schedule that first week of school anyway to kind of transition people back in to the full day. So we're going to do a special assembly that day. And we'll have some special speakers and so forth. And we're very, very fortunate that I don't want to give away too much in case of our students listening, but we have a very special gift that we're going to be giving to all of the students that was donated by a very generous donor of ours. So we're really happy. So they're going to have a fun little thing that they get to use throughout the centennial year.
So any of you Holy Trinity students listening out there, there's some special gift coming.
I know. That's bribery alone.
Yeah. You're going to have to wait.
It's like waiting for Christmas morning.
I know. Yay.
You know, talk about being eager for the start of school.
I know.
Unprecedented.
Make sure everybody there the first day.
That's right.
Are there any events open to the public?
Yeah, we have a few events that are going to be open to the public in various aspects. We'll have our formal grand opening ceremony, which will be September 15th, which is actually the anniversary of the beatification of Blessed Father Basil Moreau, the founder of the Brothers of Holy Cross.
Oh. Know him from Notre Dame and
St.
Mary's.
Exactly.
My daughter went to St. Mary's.
Exactly. So we thought that was kind of befitting to, you know, to have it on that day and to do a nice special ceremony to really honor the Brothers of Holy Cross. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're very fortunate that Mayor Daley has proclaimed it Holy Trinity Day on September 15th. And so we have a proclamation from the mayor and lots of special, you know, letters and acknowledgments from various people. That will be acknowledging the centennial and the accomplishments of the school and the Brothers of Holy Cross. So we plan to honor the brothers that day. So we hope to have a lot of the brothers there, you know, at the school throughout the day, and then we'll do a special ceremony that afternoon.
Yeah,
exciting.
Are there any Holy Cross brothers active at the school?
Unfortunately, there's not any active staff members right at this moment. The last one retired about 3 years ago. But we still have several of them that are on the board of the school. So they're still very involved, and they come to everything.
They sure do.
They're wonderful. It's like we invite them to everything, and most often they have somebody that comes to, you know, everything from our Athletic Hall of Fame to, you know, our Guardians of Hope dinner.
Excellent. After just visiting with Father Matt and hearing about the importance of that relationship, you know, this is good. This is good to hear.
Yeah. And we try to get them in the school as much as possible. So, you know, we bring them in and have them speak to classes and you know, have them involved with events. And they love interacting with the students. So.
Wonderful.
All right. We're going to move to a short break and then continue our conversation about Holy Trinity High School's centennial celebration. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning again, Chicago. This is the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Nancy Seitz Marcheschi, and I'm here with my better half, Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting today. And we are chatting with John Noonan and Jody Engler about the centennial celebration of Holy Trinity High School. Jody, I am very curious, looking back 100 years, that's a long time, there must be some fabulous stories about some of your alums, outstanding citizens perhaps, great Catholics in Chicago, anything like that you can share with us?
Yeah, I have a few things that I can share. But yeah, it's been really fascinating to reach out to our alums and former staff people and so forth, trying to get their stories.
Yeah.
And it's some of them are just absolutely amazing of, you know, some of the special guests that we've had at the school, you know, those younger alums who were, you know, class of 91 and in the early 90s were honored with having Spike Lee and Michael Jordan coming to the school to actually film a public service announcement through that was put on, promoted by Nike for staying in school. And so several of our students were in the video, and it was really it was fascinating. Michael Jordan was fantastic. Signed yearbooks.
Wow.
They gave them all Nike shoes that, you know, that were, so it's kind of fun to hear about that. But I think more importantly, it's the impact that Holy Trinity has had on some of the lives. And I think I underestimated that.
Mm.
When you hear some of the words that came out of, you know, people that we asked to just share, you know, their fondest memories and how Holy Trinity impacted them. And, you know, I can share a couple of them with you. One of them was really interesting from our former president, Brother Phil Smith. And he says here, I've always thought of Holy Trinity as an anchor on Division Street.
Mm.
Over the years, it never mattered what else was happening around us. Holy Trinity always remained. While other schools have come and gone, we are still here. And I think that says a lot,
sure.
especially 100 years, and the changing of the community has just, you know, adapted. We've adapted so well over the years.
John, tell us a little bit about the demographics of the school, the profiles of your students.
Sure. The school has changed quite a bit over the course of 100 years. When Holy Trinity High School was founded in 1910, the area around Division, Milwaukee and Ashland was a very densely populated part of the city for Polish immigrants. And that inspired the founding of the school to make sure that the sons, because at that time we were a boys' school, the sons of the Polish community had a place to go to school. And over the course of the 100 years, as the neighborhood has changed, Holy Trinity has been there. In recent years, our demographics have been about 50% African-American, about 44% Hispanic, and the remainder being biracial Caucasian students.
Very good.
Now, here's your chance to make your pitch. You know, you mentioned earlier, Jody, that there's a sucking sound, you know, at the front door, luring the faculty and administrators in. What about students? What would draw a student to Holy Trinity? If someone were asking you, where should I send my child, why would you tell them send them here?
I think one thing that's resounding, if you ask any of the students that are there, because I think they're the best spokespeople.
Sure.
We can say all we want from our perspective, but it's really the students who walk those halls. And, you know, they really say, first and foremost, it's a family. They've never had, you know, people that have gone so far above and beyond to make sure that they as an individual succeed. And I think that's what really sets us apart, is the individualized attention that our students get. We have relatively small class sizes, and they really, you know, even if the faculty does not have that student in class yet, they know who they are.
Mm, right.
And they always say hi to them, you
so
know,
important.
Around the
so
school.
Important.
Yes, because, you know, our kids come from some really challenging neighborhoods, and, you know, we are family to them. And so we take that very seriously.
What's the tuition, John?
The tuition for the 2009-10 academic year is $6,700. 90% of our students qualify for academic scholarships or some kind of need-based financial assistance. And so the actual cost to a family of a Holy Trinity student is much less than that. And that ties in with some of the mission of the school going back to the founding in 1910. The Brothers of Holy Cross wanted to make sure that some of those children in the Polish community were able to go on to secondary school because many of the families perhaps could not afford it.
Sure.
And that's a tradition that is carried on. We have some very bright students who have gone to some wonderful colleges in recent years, DePaul, Loyola, the University of Chicago locally. And
what a great blessing.
And where do you get the funding that helps you provide those scholarships?
Well, our very generous supporters help us with that. We have to do a lot of fundraising at our school. Mm-hmm. We do that in the spring with our Guardians of Hope dinner, which just had its 16th year. If you'd like to get involved with the school, please call me.
All right, let's give folks a phone number and a website.
Absolutely. 773-278-4212.
One more time.
773-278-4212.
And a website?
Uh, holytrinity-hs.org. And I'm excited to announce that we're going to be relaunching that website very soon. And that's something else we're very excited about for our centennial year.
Well, you know, Catholic education that's been around for 100 years is something to be extremely proud about. So keep singing that song, and we'll be singing it with you. We're very proud of the work that you're doing. God bless you for it.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a short break and come back for a final segment. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with you.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first scripture school in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053. That's 312-534-8053 and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
You are invited to join Cardinal Francis George and other interfaith guests on Tuesday, September 1st for the 2009 Interfaith Iftar Dinner. Iftar, an Arabic word meaning breaking of the fast, is done every evening during Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting from sunrise to sunset. This year's program takes place from 7 to 9 p.m. on September 1st at the Mosque Foundation in Bridgeview and includes the breaking of the day-long fast, observance of Muslim sunset prayer, dinner, and a program. There is no charge, but seating is limited. Your RSVP is required to the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-534-5325. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. This is Monday, August the 10th. It's the start of a new week, folks, a new week of knowing and loving God in and through one another. Today's the Feast of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr, man who died for the faith. What a great gift faith is. How fortunate we are to share our faith with one another as Catholics, with other Christians, even with people of different faiths, because it comes from the Lord, and to be willing to die for it is a great privilege. So we hope that Relevant Radio and that this particular hour helps build your faith and makes you even more committed to living it with one another. We have been talking about Catholic schools, and we couldn't find our third guest, so we're going to continue. This is take two, plan B. We've got these wonderful folks here, John Noonan, who's the Director of Foundation and Community Relations at Holy Trinity High School, and also Jody Engler-Markwith, who is a mom soon-to-be and is also the centennial coordinator at the Holy Trinity for this big, big event in their life. So we're going to continue our conversation with them. And tell us, you know, when you work in a school, when you're working with young people, there's a lot of life that gets spilled around. You know, like you said, you become a family. And when you become a family, you share many different kinds of moments. Give us a sense of what it's like to be family with these young people. Tell us a story or two of some of the special encounters you've had.
Just recently, this last May, I hosted a scholarship luncheon with some students who were scholarship recipients and the donors themselves. Mm-hmm. These were private donors who give freely of their time and their money to help these kids stay in school. And I asked the kids, as kind of a surprise to the donors, to just think about what the impact Holy Trinity has had on your life and, you know, what the scholarship means to you. And I left it at that. We got into the luncheon, and all of the students took turns. And it was the stories that were shared were amazing. But one in particular was a student who's actually a senior who just graduated this last year. And he came to us, rough neighborhood, you know, rough upbringing, and he stood up and in front of his peers and these donors and shared the story of his life, which was basically he was on a bad path. He was going down the wrong road very quickly, and it wasn't until his junior year, I believe his brother, both brothers, a cousin, were all in jail, and he actually visited his cousin. And his cousin asked him, you know, what are you doing? You know, how are you doing at school? Whatever. He says, why does it matter? He says, I'm going to end up right next to you anyways. Oh. And his cousin literally said, are you kidding? Mm-hmm. So you have an opportunity here to make a difference and to change your life around. Wow. And that came from his cousin who was behind bars. Mm. And he shared that story, and literally that's what turned his life around. From that point on, he came back to school. He started to work harder, get more involved. He ended up on the honor roll. Excellent. And then turned around and graduated, which he didn't even think he would do that. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing story. Needless to say, not a dry eye in the room. Yeah. Another student at that time also stood up, spoke very broken English, came from Mexico originally, and literally said that Holy Trinity substituted a book for a gun.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what...
That is serious.
How do you respond to that? Yeah. But just the fact that they felt comfortable in saying that and that we had made that kind of an impact was just... I couldn't even put words to that.
Okay, I understand about that sucking sound at the front door now. I can see why you want to be there.
Yeah, because that is just one of... a multitude of stories.
I mean, folks, if you don't have goosebumps right now, there's something wrong. I've got them on here. I mean, these stories are not unique. You know, there are lots of schools that make that kind of impact. But to be able to be part of something like that, what a privilege.
It is. It's an absolute privilege. I mean, these kids have changed my life, and just, you know, having to be around them every day. And then you provide them with something like, you know, our fall arts event. You know, is giving them an outlet to be creative, whether it's singing, whether it's dancing, whether it's poetry, whether it's photography, drawing, any of those things. And we give them an outlet, and we actually take them on a road show, per se, as we actually.
Really?
Yeah, the event takes place in the fall, and it's hosted by Northern Trust Bank downtown. And It's an after-work event. People come to it, and literally it's just a nice way to showcase the arts at Holy Trinity, and a nice way for them, for the guests, to interact directly with the students. It's a very intimate little event. Mm-hmm. We have a portion of it that is the visual arts, so it's kind of a gallery setting. So we set up a gallery, so they go around. The students are there representing their work. And then the last portion of the evening is actually performance arts.
Mm. Excellent. And tell me about the road trip. Where do they go?
Well, that is the road trip, that we actually take them, you know, out of the school and take them to this event, and they get a chance to perform in front of, you know, complete and utter strangers for most of them, and they just relish it. Mm.
You know, John, we often hear that people who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, you know, rough parts of the city, often don't have male role models in their lives. Mm. I'd be interested in hearing your experience of being able to be a man in the life of these young people.
Well, it is nice to be in the hallway and to show by your presence that you care very much about these students. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of terrific role models in our school, Mr. Brown, Mr. Schmitz, Father Greg, Father Tom, Mr. A, you know, the list goes on. There's so many wonderful teachers and staff members. Mr. Bopp, our president, who was brought into the school initially as a basketball coach.
Really? Mm.
An assistant basketball coach. And he
has a volunteer.
He hasn't left. he's still with us. He's now the president of our school. It's nice. It's nice to have so many people who care about the students.
Speaking of which, how's your sports program doing?
Actually, quite well. We have some that really, really excel and some that are, you know, still kind of new, fledgling. But what's really great about us is we have still managed to keep all of those activities. The fact that, you know, schools are cutting, you know, arts programs, sports programs right and left. We have fought to make sure that we keep those programs for these kids and give them those outlets that they need, to keep them, you know, engaged and occupied after school as well.
And that's part of educating the heart as well as the mind, which is in the tradition of the Brothers of Holy Cross.
What about the spiritual life of the student? How do you tend to that? Do you require retreats? Do you have regular all-school masses? Talk about that.
You bet. Yeah, we do have retreats for all the classes. And again, the responses that we get from the students who attend those is amazing and very life-altering in some cases. So they really do enjoy those retreats. We also have special masses throughout the year that we celebrate, various events. And then we always start the day, you know, with a prayer and usually a reading from Father Basil Moreau.
Oh, right from Father Moreau.
Unique, yes.
And we also have a campus ministry program in which a lot of students are active. For two summers now, a group of our students have participated in something called the Appalachia Service Project, where our students, a small group of them from inner city Chicago, travel to this year, I believe it was West Virginia, last year it was Kentucky, and spend a week working on helping people who are in very difficult situations in poverty in rural areas to get back on their feet a little bit by putting their strength into building homes. And it's very inspiring, the campus ministry.
You know,
program.
Every time you land from an air flight, they always say, you know, we thank you for flying with us. We know you have many choices. Well, you know, in terms of education, people do have choices out there. And as I listen to you, it becomes clear, my gosh, why would anyone choose something other than a Catholic education? Because in addition to the great academics, you get all these other dimensions that really do change the lives of young people. And not just for people from a disadvantaged background, but even people from privilege, that the Catholic education offers a dimension that would be lacking in another environment.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
There's a strong moral guidance that is a presence in these students' lives. And also 100% college acceptance for four years in a row.
We're going to thank you once again for being with us and wish you the best of luck as you continue celebrating your 100 years. You've been listening to Catholic Radio on AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with co-host Nancy Marcheschi, wishing you a wonderful day and a blessed week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.